It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN SC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Ali Moreno and Stevie Nicol. We kick things off with Monday night action in the Premier League. And what a huge result for Spurs. Newcastle beating Arsenal by 2-0. Both goals coming in the second half. Newcastle superior to Arsenal throughout the tie, inspired by surely guest of honour, Shaka Hislop was there. More on Shaka a little later on. But first, of course, regarding the relevance of this result, where it really deals Arsenal a massive blow regarding their hopes of catching Spurs and clinching that fourth spot and Champions League football next season. For Spurs, it's simple. Win away against Norwich in the final day of the season and they clinch a top four spot. For more on this, we'll just take a look at some of the newspapers. Arsenal blow it.
That'll do it.
Yeah, that'll very much do it. Flop guns, very good play on Top Guns, of course. Top Gun the sequel coming out, isn't it?
Yeah, yes, it is.
Gun 4, meanwhile, says the back page of the Mirror. And you just take a look. It's these results since April which have really seen Arsenal very much the architect of their own downfall. They just won 4 out of the last 9 matches, losing 5. Spurs, meanwhile, only losing 1 of their last 8 games. That's the push that was needed to see Spurs overtake Arsenal and very much put them in the ascendancy and make it through to the Champions League next season. Right then, let's welcome in Don Hutchison, shall we, to the show. Don, absolutely no argument from anyone today that Newcastle didn't deserve it. Mikel Arteta coming out after the game, very honest indeed, saying, look, they're 100 times better than us today.
And Granit Xhaka left a little bit on some of the players as well. So honesty all of a sudden from Mikel Arteta and Arsenal players have owned up. About time. I mean, they were horrendous tonight. I mean, don't get me started on the first goal. I mean, Nuno Tavares can't take a throw in. He's guilty of giving a foul throw. Welcome to Arsenal FC. You give away a foul throw and then an own goal. Then don't get me started on Ødegaard jumping out of a tackle with Sean Longstaff on the edge of the box. They were never at the races, Dan. They were weaker than Newcastle. Newcastle had more appetite for them. Newcastle were better than them. They were stronger. They were faster. And that was a really disappointing and a poor performance from Arsenal.
Considering what was on the line, Stevie, as well, I think that's what would hurt me the most if I was an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, I think from a supporter's point of view, you look at this performance and there was no guts about it.
Okay, here's what I found.
There was absolutely no fire or... Listen, you can't always play well. And Arsenal have shown that at times they can be great, but at times, they can be just invisible. And this was one of the games where they were invisible. They had nothing to offer the game. And the fact that you've got a Champions League spot dangling in front of you and you can't get fired up, I think it tells you that Arsenal are a side that are not good enough to be in the Champions League. I think it tells you that they had a great run at the start of the year that got them into the position they were in. But ultimately, they're just not any better than teams like Newcastle, really.
Yeah, the thing was, like, after what happened against Spurs, you're going to think, right, that's rock bottom. It's the kick up the backside you need. You've got 2 games to go. Go out there, give it your all.
Still in your hands.
And still, exactly. Its destiny is still very much in your hands. But then they very much dropped the ball yet again.
If you didn't know who was playing, right, and you just said, well, here are 2 teams, and one of these teams is playing for the potential of Champions League, and the other team, competitive pride, and that's about it. You would have suggested that Newcastle were the ones that were actually competing for a Champions League place. The amount of desire, the amount of energy, of intensity, challenging every ball, winning every 50-50 challenge, winning every second ball, and Arsenal just reacting the whole time. Never really taking ownership of the game. And if indeed you're going to be a team that is going to be in Champions League, if indeed you're going to be a team that is going to show progress, you have to take ownership of the opportunity. And Arsenal never looked like they really had a sense of belief to go into Newcastle and get a result. It's almost as if, you know what, losing to Spurs, even though we still had destiny in our own hands, that pretty much was the reality check. And after that, we were never going to be able to recover. It felt like Arsenal had turned the page already and Newcastle took full advantage.
I suppose if you were to spin this, Don, you would say Arsenal have the youngest squad in the league. This is a massive teaching experience for them, which can only help them develop going forward.
Yeah, I think that's fair comment, Dan. I think, you know, when you are a young player and you've got a group of young players, it is a learning process and you are going to be inconsistent. So, you know, there is a lot of positives. It's just you get the feeling tonight that there were some tactical decisions from Mikel Arteta that didn't go right. Don't know why in a game like this you wouldn't start Lacazette, Martinelli. Martinelli's had a brilliant couple of weeks. He's looked electric. Even when he made the subs, to be fair to him, they had no impact on the game. So I think when you spin it and they go into a European competition next year, those younger players will be better for that experience. But it just leaves Arsenal fans, I think, tonight so flat.
What's interesting, Don, as well, we talk about recruitment and we talk about the money that some of the big clubs have. You look at Arsenal, they spent 80 million euros on Pepe, who's got one goal this season. It's extraordinary, and it just shows how important these decisions can prove to be at this time of the season.
Of course it is. I mean, you talk about momentum. I mean, they've got 6 defeats in their last 11, so they've lost all their momentum, Arsenal. So you're right, they're not good enough. But the recruitment has to be better. They've got to scour the market and get the right characters in. That's what Liverpool do best. They're the benchmark. They're the high bar. When you buy players in, everyone knows now of all the analysis teams and all the leagues that are watched around the world. Anyone knows a player, but you've got to delve into their character. And I think that's what Granit Xhaka was leading towards with his comments after the game. You've got to have character. You've got to stand up. When you go to St James's Park on a Monday night, I think we all knew this was going to be a test. You know, the atmosphere before the game was rocking. It was noisy. It was electric. And I had no doubt that some of them would fold. And that's what Mikel Arteta will want next season. He won't want his young Chargers next season to go away from home with that sort of weak mentality where they need to be stronger. If they've got any chance of getting anywhere near Champions League football next season and kicking on and buying new players and better players, character's the most important thing, I think, for Arsenal.
Is that too easy an excuse, Stevie? Age?
No, I don't think so. You know, you look at the front line, or the front four, including Odegaard. And Odegaard, I think, is the most experienced and the oldest, and he's 23.
Right.
But if you go behind that front four, Granit Xhaka and Elneny, how far down the league do you go before you see a team where those two guys are playing for them? So the fact that we're talking about the so-called strength of the team wouldn't get a game for probably, other than themselves, the top eight, maybe even lower. And then you've got such young, inexperienced players who you're asking to carry to a Champions League spot. It's just, it's not possible. And they've shown it's not possible. You do need experience, but you also need strength around the youth.
Right.
And they don't have that strength. Yes, Granit Xhaka tries hard. Yes, Granit Xhaka tackles people. He tries to get people going, but he's just not good enough. And Elneny isn't either. So, you know, you've got half of your team, well, more than half of your team, that just, when it comes to this time of the season, because one, they don't have legs, or two, they're inexperienced, they can't do it.
So then, Don, Mr. Percentage.
Oh, no. What could possibly go wrong?
Chance of Arsenal finishing fourth.
No chance.
Zero.
I mean, Norwich have conceded, I think it's 79 goals. Zero. Tottenham are going to Norwich all day long. A team that's conceded 79. There's no way on this earth Tottenham can blow it. It's a big, fat zero.
OK, let's do this one. Percentage chance that Newcastle finish above Arsenal next season.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that because Ali was spot on when you watch the teams tonight. I'm not going to get too greedy if I'm a Newcastle fan. I'm not going to get too optimistic. I'd still fancy Arsenal to be above Newcastle, but I think that gap's getting closer. And if I'd have said, you know, if you asked me their odds at the start of the season or last season, they would have been way low. I think I'd probably go 60-40 Arsenal's favour.
Hey, there you go. It'd be, well, we'll have plenty of time over the summer, I'm sure, maybe, to find time to discuss that. Meanwhile, when it comes to the top of the Premier League, it isn't over yet, is it? After Manchester City could only manage that 2-2 draw against West Ham. Still in City's hands. They beat Villa, it's all over. However, if they drop points and Southampton and Wolves are both beaten by Liverpool, then Jurgen Klopp's side will be champions of England. Interesting stuff from Jurgen Klopp ahead of this game against Southampton. It was quite the monologue. Here it is.
It's a chance, it's a big chance. I wouldn't say so because it would mean that City, I don't know when City dropped points the last time, two games in a row, historically. So Aston Villa has to play in midweek. We are not used to that. So as much as I'm sure they're all professionals and these kind of things, they want to go at City, but City is a pretty good football team. So I don't expect City to draw points there, but that has no influence on our game for tomorrow. When did Southampton have the last game before we play tomorrow? I think it was, when I saw it right, it was 10, 12 days? Possible to have that long. Do we agree? Long. So it's a completely different. Okay, they might lack a little bit of rhythm, but if we make changes, we lose that. We lose that advantage of having rhythm as well. They're completely fresh. It's always a really well-drilled team and full of energy and all these kind of things who didn't get the results for a while they wanted. And now they have their last home game of the season. What would you do if you have lost two, three games too much in the last few weeks, last home game, that the impression you leave before you go on summer holiday, more or less, that's better a good one. So this is this high energetic, well-organized team we face. Defending well, press like crazy, and counter-attacking with all they have. Plus, don't make silly fouls because Ward Prowse kicks, shoots the ball from pretty much each corner of the pitch into the goal. And that's the challenge we face. And they thought the best day for us to play the next game is a Tuesday. So you could have given us the Wednesday, theoretically. I think that's not possible for your European League final.
You can't play on the Wednesday.
Sorry?
It's the Europa League.
So so now the UEFA, my friends. So and then Thursday maybe, or can we not play on Thursday? Could we? We could have played. So then we would have played on Thursday a 90-minute game, and on Sunday, which is the last match day, which is normal rhythm from European, when you play European League, but Thursday, Sunday. But all of a sudden, nobody thought we could give them a day more rest. So that's now the whole time like this, and I have to sit here and say it, and other people say, and he says, well, when does he stop whining, stuff like this, because nobody else is doing it. You all don't think about it for a second. You say, oh, it's tougher. Well, maybe it would have been better if you play on Thursday. Yeah, it would have been slightly better. So 120 minutes and then Tuesday. Come on, that's really massive. So we will see. But again, I can't wait to play the game. Now we know when we play. I can't wait to play the game tomorrow. I'm really excited about it. And the boys who will start the game, they will go with all they have to make it happen. And we'll see.
Steve Nicol.
I'll tell you what, Jurgen. Your next job, take the Southampton job. And then you won't have to worry about complaining about fixtures. Come on. Does he really want to turn round and ask the FA to help Liverpool? He'll have every other man and his dog complaining that they're going out their way. Look, if you're as good as they are and as successful as they are, you're going to have a heavy schedule. And so I find that a little bit, he's saying nothing that successful teams managers have not been saying since I was playing in the 80s. It was the exact same in the 80s. You're not a special case because you do well. You shouldn't expect anybody to look after you. So I don't know why you go complaining. And he didn't have to. All the things he started with, right, I thought were perfect.
Yep.
About the Southampton, the state of their mind, the last game, the last feeling, send the fans home happy. That's all the things the manager would be saying to Southampton players. That was fantastic. And he said the great things. Well, you know, we got some tired legs, but it changes nothing the way we go about it. and then cut it off. Don't start complaining, because now all you've got in your head is, here's a guy complaining.
Right.
And he told you that we were going to complain about it.
Yeah.
So just to keep you happy,
yes,
stop complaining.
Yeah. And someone brought up Champions League as well, which is Saturday and Tuesday, which is just is part of the past.
It's just the way... I'll tell you what. How many fans around the country, around Europe, would love to have the problem that he's got?
Right.
So, come on. Don't complain about it.
Don?
He just got into a waffle, didn't he? He got into a waffle where he couldn't get out of it, and he was answering them honestly. I think Stevie's bang on, and he just got in a bit too deep, and he went to places where he probably shouldn't have went to. Didn't really need to have a moan up. I think he was honest in his assessment at the start, as Stevie said. You know, talking about Southampton, they haven't played for a while, so they could be fresh and the rhythm, etc. It's going to be difficult to tear last home game. And then he just went off on a sort of Dan Thomas tangent.
I don't think
unnecessary shot.
That's fair. He's not forgiven me for the criticism of the suit. Oh. The suit of the weekend is stung deep. Southampton have only won one of their last 11 matches.
Right.
Why are we bigging them up? Why are we offering Liverpool an excuse? Why is he offering his players an excuse?
It's unnecessary. It's, I suppose, the price of success when you have to play so many games, and Stevie just alluded to it, and Don just spoke about it. I don't think that as a player you need an excuse. As players, you are very quick to lean on an excuse. Very quick. So don't give it to me.
Yeah.
Don't put it out there. Don't give me the option. Just tell me, hey, am I playing? Am I not playing? What's the plan? What are we doing? And how are we going to be successful? But don't start telling me how Southampton is fresh. Don't start telling me how Southampton is this, that, and the other. And look, you should be better than Southampton, even with tired legs, even with tired minds. With what's on the line, you should be better than Southampton, and you should win this game. Period. That's all the conversation you need to have.
Considering the team we expect them to play, why is he talking about anybody being tired? Because the players that are going to play are going to be absolutely revved up, fired up, ready.
Yeah.
Because in their tiny little shrapnel covered brains, they still think, I've got a chance of playing in the Champions League final.
Oh, my God. What is the size of their brains? Wow, Stevie. Okay.
Because the truth is, if everybody's fit, Klopp knows exactly what team he's starting.
Right.
But the players that are not,
okay,
they think they might just... Right. Might just get myself in there. So, if anybody who's played starts this game, says they're tired, I'm sorry. Give me a break.
Speaking of tired, you must have been up early. Way, way earlier than your normal midday getting up time to watch West Ham against City. How was that experience for you?
I'll be honest with you. I thought they were going to win it. At halftime, I'm sat in a hearse and I'm going... It was 10 minutes to go.
Right.
You knew.
That they were going to respond.
They knew they were going to respond.
Yeah.
And I can't believe Mahrez missed the penalty. Obviously, I'm glad he missed the penalty. But, listen, they just showed what they're all about. Not only can he cut anybody apart.
Right.
But to come back the way they did.
Yeah.
And just brush the first half off. It just shows you that, yeah, they got ability. But I'll tell you what, they got strength of mind and character as well.
And it's a hope that kills you as well, Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? You go into halftime, 2-0, you're like, oh, here we go, this is the moment, and
not so much. I bet he was in a dressing gown as well. bet he was in, we've seen this dressing gown, weren't you, Stevie? In the dressing gown.
The robe.
I was in the robe, yeah.
I've seen the robe.
It's not silk. Who would have thought, though, what, this time last year... Wait, do you remember what happened this time last year, Stevie? We were sat here. It's when Alisson scored that header, of course, which guaranteed Champions League football for Liverpool. Isn't that incredible how that's kind of changed the tide of everything?
Goodness. It seems like more than a year ago, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I'd have lost a bet on that.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey.
Considering what we've seen this year from Real Madrid, just what the game's all about.
It is, Don, isn't it? It's incredible how significant that header could prove to be.
Oh, it's sort of like a sliding doors moment. I mean, it was sort of typical of the sort of time we were playing in. Lockdown, coming out of lockdown. I think Alisson lost his dad. He was emotional. And then he scores the goal, which obviously got Liverpool into the Champions League spots and then potentially can win a Champions League. It was like at that point in the season, Liverpool were gone, they were done. And there was so much emotion around the game. And then the storyline that he gets the goal and then just incredible scenes. That sort of thing, I don't think will ever be repeated.
What were you asking me, Stevie, when Don was talking?
I've never heard that.
Sliding doors?
Sliding doors.
It's from a movie, isn't it?
Yes.
Is it Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yes, it is, correct.
Yes, good movie. Check it out.
Nice.
It's how your life could have been different. Yeah.
How could it change if you got on the train or didn't get on the train? Yes. If Alisson scores or doesn't score?
Oh, what's the explanation for it? I know exactly what he's talking about. Well, I've just never heard it before.
Well, we're just telling you where it comes from.
Bit of context.
Thanks very much. Cheers.
Oh, that's good.
Good movie.
I'll sleep tonight now.
Butterfly effect's good as well. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good movie as well. That sort of impact.
No, you're all right.
I'm busy. Difference.
Too busy to watch nonsense.
Do you not?
Too busy to watch nonsense.
We're giving you context. I thought you would appreciate it. Apparently
we'll
not.
We'll be back tomorrow then to reflect on Liverpool's comfortable victory against Southampton. Be sure to join us. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
It's the penultimate weekend of fixtures in the Spanish top flight. The final spot in the top four up for grabs. Sevilla favourites, so they have something to play for.
Guta sees the chance for Juanmi.
More pressure for Sevilla.
This is a big chance. And the City 1-1. Sevilla Champions League bound.
This is the last time that we'll see Luis Suarez in an Atletico Madrid shirt in this stadium. A fantastic career.
That's it to the near post. Allowed to run all the way through. Morales wraps up Deportivo Alaves's fate. And Deportivo Alaves join Levante in the Spanish second tier.
It's confirmed. Etafe have exercised the ghost of relegation. Now they can celebrate. Opportunity to play it to Álvaro Negredo. Lunin comes up for it. Negredo goes down.
Álvaro Negredo with a massive, massive opportunity. This one is driven down to the right and Lunin makes the save. Mafeil with the cross. And Don Prat at the far post and it's in! Mallorca take the lead. He scored to send Mallorca into the top flight. He's done it again. Who knows? To keep them in La Liga Santander.
What a massive goal that could prove to be for Mallorca and their quest to survive. As it stands, they're okay. They're away against Osasuna in the final day of the season. Meanwhile, how much will Cadiz rue that missed penalty against Real Madrid? It is all to play for on the final day of the season. On Friday, it's the champions, Real Madrid against Betis. Vallecano take on Levante, of course, already down. Saturday, Valencia against Celta Vigo. But it's all about Sunday and those games that have an influence on those sides that are battling to stay up. Granada take on Espanyol, Cadiz away against Alaves, and Mallorca take on Osasuna in Pamplona. It's going to be a brilliant day of action. Be sure to join us on ESPN+. It's not only tight at the bottom in La Liga, but of course in the Premier League as well. How significant that late equaliser for Leeds could prove to be against Brighton. Burnley will be looking to make up that game in hand, of course. They're in action on Thursday, as are Everton as well. Here's confirmation of those games. Everton at home against Palace, Burnley at Aston Villa. And then the final day of the season is Burnley, Newcastle, Everton against Arsenal, and Leeds take on Brentford. Goodness gracious me, Don, this is going to be tight, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I still fear for Leeds, Dan. I think they've got to go to Brentford and try and beat them away from home. The Everton game against Brentford was a disaster in terms of two men sent off. But they've got one more chance. They've got Palace at Goodison, which is going to be massive because they know they win one more game, Everton, and they are safe. Burnley now have crept into the bottom three. Leeds have got the worst goal difference out of all of them. So if I want a foot in any camp, I'd rather be in the Everton camp.
Okay, that's almost a given, Don. What about the Burnley or Leeds camp?
I think I'd rather be in Burnley because they've got two games. And it might be a scenario, Dan, where Burnley lose both theirs. I fancy them maybe to nick a point. I think they've got Newcastle at home on the last day of the season, so they could potentially nick something there. I just don't see Leeds, the form that they've been in, going to a good side like Brentford away from home. Brentford's last home game of the season. I mean, to be honest, I mean, you know, the last game of the season always throws up crazy results. I remember a West Brom 5-5 against Man United. Newcastle beat Spurs 6. Stoke beat Liverpool 6-1, I think it was. So the last day of the season can throw up any sort of scoreline. But I honestly fear for Leeds. I think they've left themselves too much to do.
Who do you want to be, Stevie?
Yeah, I'm with Don. Everton and Burnley. I think... I don't see Leeds pulling off another miracle, to be honest.
Right.
I mean, they did it at the weekend with Strike. When 5 minutes earlier, Danny Welbeck should have killed the game with a header from 2 yards. I mean, you can't keep getting away with that. So, yeah, I fear for Leeds. I don't see Leeds getting anything at Brentford. And I do think Burnley are capable of just boring somebody to death or out fighting them to get at least a point.
Meanwhile, Don, it's the first time you've been with us since your Wembley adventure.
Uh-oh.
Of course, at the FA Cup final, where you were left somewhat alone
as
Leyden was off gallivanting with James Milner and then with Jordan Henderson as well. You cut a little bit of a lonely figure.
Yeah, checking the phone.
I'm so lonely.
He's kicking by himself.
I've got to say, Jordan Henderson was kind enough to come over.
More because Nathan
forced him. By the way,
don't say that. Because he felt bad for you. Don't say that.
No, I've got to say. Nathan was.
Who's your mate?
Nathan was smooching. He was smooching everyone. He was all over James Milner. He was all over the kit men, the masseurs. Anyone that was wearing red, he was smooching like you wouldn't believe.
Do you think your sweatpants maybe have caused an issue?
I've got to say, Dan, I'm comfortable with that suit. And just to let you know, if I do the championship final, whatever that is, in a week or two's time, just to let you know, I got a 2-for-1. I bought the suit in grey as well. I got it in grey.
Yeah, I'm not surprised there was more product overstocked. Yeah. There you go, chuck that in.
2-for-1 must have given that away, surely.
I can't believe you're not feeling it.
But is he stretching? Is he getting loosened up? What's he doing?
No. Look, can you just come and say hello to my mate, Tom?
Please come over. Jordan, I'm here, Jordan.
Please. Adam's going to go to the camp manager. Can you get a pair of pants from Don?
Yay! All right, yeah, good. Yeah, see you later.
See, what happened there is Jordan Henderson recognised ex-Sunderland greatness, so he come over and he gave me a nice little hug.
Nathan's whispered in his ear, hey, do us a favour. Yeah, go give that guy a hug.
What's he like that?
Made of Jordan Henderson's gone. What's hey. Jordan Henderson's gone. Hey, Jordan Henderson's gone to Nader.
There's some more questions about Don's adventures at Wembley on Extra Time. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel.
The nerves in the Cannstetter curve where the hardcore Stuttgart fans gather behind the goal. And Matarazzo now as animated as he's been all season. Florian Müller's up for it. Marmoush to take, it's on! Oh, it's there! Stuttgart! Score the goal that will mean Bundesliga survival. It's the most dramatic goal this stadium has witnessed in many a year. Matarazzo joining the celebrations. They know that they're in the Bundesliga for another year.
It's incredible how it seems to serve up those sort of scenes every single year. Every league has that dramatic moment. Of course, at the weekend, it was all about that late goal for Stuttgart, which guaranteed them survival. Heartbreak then for Hertha Berlin, who go in to that playoff final against Hamburg to decide who will be plying their trade in the Bundesliga next season. The two legs live on ESPN+, the first of which on Thursday at 2:30 Eastern. Meanwhile, Christopher Nkunku has been named as the Bundesliga player of the season. I'm a little surprised by this, Ali. I thought it might be Lewandowski.
And you'd be wrong.
No, that's very true.
Christopher Nkunku has been indeed the best player in the Bundesliga.
Oh. And what about Lewandowski?
You'd be wrong, Dan. Look, he has been... The thing is, he's been a difference maker for Leipzig throughout the course of the season.
You can't imagine he's going to be at Leipzig for long. He, of course, will feature in the German Cup final, which is this Saturday here on Plus as they take on Freiburg. That's at 2 p.m. Eastern.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We saw him in the crowd, didn't we, for the Newcastle game. A very proud week for Xhaka as he's been given the freedom of Newcastle. This is because of his charity work amongst the community, which he set up as him and Eddie Howe during his time with Newcastle. Helped set up Show Racism the Red Card, and it has been going strong now for over 20 years. He gets the freedom of the city. You know what I mean, Stevie? He can graze his animals wherever he likes.
Does he get a key where he can go in anywhere he wants?
I know, that's what you think, isn't it?
I always think.
Yeah, a master key made of chocolate. That is it.
What?
It's the Simpsons. Anyway, thank you very much to Don. Don's back with us for Extra Time. Ali and Stevie, of course, as well, to answer your tweets. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your question. Don is bopping away.
Yeah.
Ali, Stevie. See, how many years have we done this show together? A long time, yeah?
Right.
First time ever in today's live show, I say Stevie, my phone jumps up, thinking I said Siri, and off it goes, starts beeping away.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, Siri bumped in the middle of the show.
You see how professional I was? I just carried on.
I know, always professional.
But,
let's give the viewers a look behind the scenes,
yes,
right?
Yes, BTS.
Okay. ahead of the show.
Yeah.
Right? Dan was very stern with you, Stevie, telling you, Stevie, turn your phone off. Yeah. Because in the past,
previously, it's
maybe has been an issue.
Yeah.
But he didn't turn his phone off.
Well. But normally I don't need to. Sometimes I need it for references to the producer.
I'm sure your parents have said to you,
yeah,
and you may have imparted this wisdom on your kids as well.
Right.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Right, yes.
That is Dan Thomas in a nutshell.
There we go. Wow. Good. Wow. Shot down there. How are you, Tom? Why aren't you at home?
I've been dragged to BT, which I don't mind, by the way, because I got to watch the games tonight, got to watch U of A tonight, got to watch the Premier League game, Arsenal Newcastle. But let me tell you, Dan, I'm in a room at BT. It is boiling in here.
Oh, no.
It is so hot.
Are you wearing the sweatpants still?
On.
No. I've got a nice pair of jeans on tonight. Nice little jumper.
Nice pair of jeans. Ooh. Are they elasticated?
Well, I'm wearing a nice pair of jeans tonight.
I can't believe you guys are not feeling that suit, by the way. That's one of my best.
How much did it cost, Don?
Well, you paid for it.
Two for one.
Oh, that's a good question.
Two for one, huh?
I bought it for the World Cup in Russia. I was in Joburg, so I needed like casual suit because obviously it was nice and warm. So I bought two.
Right.
And I'm gonna say, Dan, look, it was about $2,000.
Blooming heck.
Each.
What?
Sorry, in total. $2,000 in total.
Wait a minute, and they couldn't even cover your ankles? What?
You spent $2,000.
Ali, come on, you've got to have them high. You've got to show a bit of ankle.
Have you ever spent $2,000 on any clothes?
I can't believe I'm getting fashion advice from you three.
$2,000.
You three giving me fashion advice.
I mean, at least spending $2,000, you think you get some part of it right.
Well, nice bit of elastic.
Oh. They're not elastic. They're drawstring.
In that case, I understand
the price tag now.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
It's a golden string.
Don, how wrong were Arsenal to hand out a new contract to Arteta before the season ended?
Do you know what? That is a brilliant question because I was chatting to Stuart Robson. He was on the Juve game. And we bumped into each other afterwards, and I said to him, they should have been patient and they should have waited for Patrick Vieira. Patrick Vieira's got the steel, he's got the character, and they have rushed into Arteta. Arsenal have done it yet again, and I bet they're thinking, what have we done?
I don't know about that, John. There's a completely different expectation on managing Crystal Palace, who were everybody's favourites to go down, and managing Arsenal, who better be in the top four. That's a different ball game, completely. And I actually don't agree with the question.
No.
You know, I think I think what Arteta needs to do now is get three or four good players, proper players, that will make this team a top four side. Because they've got a way of playing. They look as though they're understanding what's required now. Now they don't always produce it, and the run they've been on tells you that. But they look as though they've got some sort of base to build from. So why are you going to go and throw that away?
Shouldn't Arteta be blamed for Aubameyang, Ali, after his exit from Arsenal? He in the Champions League, Arteta in Europa League. Bad decision by the coach. Youngsters needed guidance. And like I said, isn't the one to guide them.
Well, I don't know that Aubameyang is the one to guide them either. That's
why he's not there.
Yeah, and look... The challenges when you are leading a young team, in this case, what Arteta is doing with Arsenal, are the fact that if you don't have veterans that buy into what you're trying to do, there's a tendency that those younger guys gravitate towards the rebellious veteran. And now it's really difficult to control the group.
Right.
And if Aubameyang wasn't willing to do the things that Arteta wanted him to do, then he had to get him out of there because you did not want the influence to go the wrong way, in the wrong direction. So what we're seeing from Aubameyang in Barcelona, we were not seeing at Arsenal. Now that reflects also not only on Arteta, but it also reflects on Aubameyang as well.
Who would win in a game of FIFA between Stevie and Craig? I'd go Stevie.
Yeah, I'd go Stevie, because Stevie's
got,
actually
he's got some video
games.
Yeah. Nouse about him.
Yeah, but I hate that game.
Oh, well, yeah, but...
I think you'd be better than Craig.
He would explode. Yeah, well, he wouldn't last.
Craig, Craig just says video games is for kids.
Yes.
So he just has no... Yeah. Like, you have a little bit of experience. Mario Kart is your number one.
Yeah, Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Rainbow Road.
Oh, yes, Steve. Rainbow Road.
Rainbow Road is difficult. Really difficult. At 150cc?
At 150cc.
It's impossible.
That's tricky. Yeah, that is very tricky. But no, I think that you'd beat him comfortably.
Yeah, I think we'd be
fine. Don, where do you stand?
Well, I think the match would be abandoned because he wouldn't get to the end.
No.
Well, you just unplug it. Oh, this is nonsense.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of anger going
stupid.
On.
Yes, Don, where do you stand on FIFA?
FIFA, terrible. Never played a football game in my life. Can't stand football games. Just not realistic. But taking me back to Mario Kart, I mean, I've gone full circle because the twins are now five. They are loving Mario Kart, so every single day I'm on it.
Fantastic. Now, how competitive are you? Do you let them win? Do you
massively.
You let them win?
No. But I will say, though, one of the twins, Fletch, is better than me already. Because Rainbow Road, anything after 150cc, 200, I'm off. I'm falling off left, right, and centre.
How can a five-year-old be better at you in Mario Kart, Don?
Because he's on it every single day, isn't he? Like, he's on it.
Like, here's the thing. The kids don't get emotionally involved in it as much as we do.
Right.
And when I say that, they're obviously emotionally involved, but they don't lose the rag. So whenever we get hit by something or we make a mistake, am I going to assume Don's a little bit like me? It does my brains in.
Oh, really?
Because I get so mad about it, I end up doing something else.
Oh, what about when they get, what's it, the Billy Big Boy?
Yeah. The bullet.
Yeah.
But you're in first, right? Bullet. You see the finish line. You see it, and somebody hits you with the, what's it, the lightning.
Yes.
And then you become really small and going really slow. Yeah.
But you are extraordinarily competitive with your family, aren't you?
Yeah, well.
Like, you've never let your son win anything?
Never.
Correct.
Not a chance.
No.
None of them. Nobody.
No.
Never let any of them. Consequently, whenever we all get together and we play games, it's me against everybody else.
That's it.
Because they just want to beat me, because they want to annoy me. And they want to see me losing my rag. So I'm basically up against it all.
But like charades, everything. You're competitive about it all.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No chance.
Yeah, you're not.
Get them nothing.
I'm with you, Stevie. 100%.
Pictionary, Gregory's in tears, you don't care.
I don't care. You know, in Monopoly, nobody deals with me in Monopoly because they want me to lose. No, I'm trying to wheel and deal. I'm presenting deals that I think are good for both parties. Nobody wants to engage with me because they want me to lose. So when they lose, I may celebrate a little bit.
And how do you cope, Dog? Because I imagine now your 20-year-old son is better at you than you at football now.
Don't be so ridiculous, Dan. Me and him get in the garden every single day, right? And I beat him at two-touch every single day. When the weather's nice, I've got a net in the garden. I set it up for a little bit of head tennis. He will never, ever... I can be 100 and he won't beat me at two-touch or head tennis. Not a chance.
Who's better at staying on their bike, though?
Him, probably. But talking of letting them win, we played drafts tonight, checkers, and the boys have just started to get into it. We've got a chess board. Chess is obviously not for them just yet. They're too young. I've got to let them win at drafts. I can't just go ding, 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 ding and beat them. I've got to let them beat me at that.
Yeah. I don't know if... Well,
why would you do that?
Because then they'll never play again. Oh. Like chess. Like, you've got to let them at least have a little go.
I'm not playing.
I'm fine.
And I don't know...
Fine. Stop greeting. What are you greeting for?
It's a generational thing. I don't know what's going on nowadays. But the other thing that I think it's very clear is that if we're losing... in whatever we're losing,
yes,
and we know we have to make a comeback, we can talk a lot. We can talk our way back into the game.
Right.
We can get in people's heads.
Right.
And it's almost as if they're melting in front of you. You can feel it, you can sense it, and you can also enjoy it.
Stevie,
I'm telling you.
We have flashbacks.
Yeah, I've just had a flashback. Mr. Bodley was running my house for barbecue.
Oh.
And I had to apologise to my son and his... I thought my son and his wife were going to get divorced. We were playing them at beer pong, right? Yeah. And of course, there's, depending on where you are and how you grew up playing it, there's different ways of playing it. There's different little rules.
Right.
And so his wife is as competitive as Craig and I.
Okay.
Right. Whereas Michael's kind of like, all right, okay.
Yeah.
So, of course, we started talking. Mm-hmm. Right. And of course, we're getting on Michael. We're going, no, you know, that's the rule. That's not the rule. You can bounce it first, and you can't do it. Right. And of course, Alicia's going, no, you can't. You can't do that. And he's like, look, just let them do it. We're going to beat them anyway. It. So then she would let us do it. Then we start getting ahead. And then when we get ahead, we're talking even more. Uh-huh. And then they started arguing with each other. And then they were screaming at each other. And then I'm like, oh, no. And then I've got a wife on me going, see you two.
Yeah.
Leave them alone.
Yeah.
Oh, seriously.
Yeah, don't be so mean.
There you are. Yeah, you mean very, boys.
Very quiet if they were for each, with each other.
Oh, dear. Away from Stevie and Craig. For Don, now that Shaka is more famous than him in Newcastle, are you jealous?
No, never. Shaka deserves everything he gets. No. He deserves all the accolades he gets, the work that he's done. Not at all.
It's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird, proud, like, you want to sit here and take the mickey, but considering everything that he's done, you kind of think, fair play.
He's very sensible, though, isn't he?
Yeah, and it's not... It's
very sensible.
It's not an easy subject to talk about.
Yeah.
And he does it so graciously and does it with truth and honesty and with a smile on his face and having gone through some of the experiences that he's gone through and to be able to... elaborate and being able to explain the way that he does his position and talking about racism is divisive and he does it so very well.
Although the next question asks, Stevie, did Shaka pay for his ticket?
Well, never mind. What about the good work?
No chance. By the way, Shaka was supposed to be on.
Uh-huh.
But apparently his Wi-Fi isn't working very well.
Hey, allegedly.
Every time Shaka came to the Revs, I would get a phone call a few days before it.
Right.
Hey, Steve, how are you doing? Can you get us a couple of tickets? I'm like, aye, sure, aye. So when is it? One, two, five. Five? I'm forgetting he's got a rather large
bed. Yeah.
So if he's looking for five for the Revs, he ain't paying for any in Newcastle, is he?
I'm sure they took care of them today.
Don, when's the last time you bought a ticket?
Oof. Oh, that's a good question, that Dan.
I know, yeah.
That is a really good question. I think I bought a ticket for me and my boy at West Ham, but it's a long time ago. Long time ago. 3 years ago or something? Yeah, quite a while.
Stevie, you can beat that, can't you?
No.
US men?
Ah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you moaned about that a lot, you meant, to me.
No, I did. Well, because I know all the coaching staff at the US.
Right.
So it was neighbours of her, Jimena and the two boys.
Yep.
And she said, oh, we're going to the US game. You know, would you like to come with Pac-Man?
Yep.
I'm like, aye. I said, look, I've got tickets. I can get us tickets.
Right.
She goes, well, are they all going to be together? I said, well, I'm not sure, but I'll see. So in between me trying to get tickets from the boys, she called me back and said, "No, I've got the tickets. So you can just sort me out whenever we go to the game." So I'm like, oh, money pay? Got to pay.
How much, Stephen?
What was it? It's got to be about $90 or something.
Mm.
Oh, that hurt.
Something like that.
That hurts me, Stephen.
What's a friendly? Right. I think it was against Ghana who had the reserve team out.
Yes.
The US had a reserve team out as well.
Yeah.
And then we had to sit in the car park because it's the... What's the name of the field up the road from here?
Is it Rensselaer Field or whatever it is?
Rensselaer Field. Well, the problem at Rensselaer Field is there's only one way in or out.
Yeah.
So
I was... Did you have to pay for parking as well? Oh, probably had to pay for parking. It's probably $100 then. Mm-hmm. That's $120 for the suit.
We sat in the car park for 2 hours after the game waiting to get up.
Oh, no.
Because it was like a full house.
Oh. Well, what a lovely bonding experience with your grandson.
Oh, it was great sitting in a van, looking out the window.
Don, is Nadim giving you a free signed copy of his book after abandoning you during the FA Cup?
Nah, he was very nice, you know. Naden was very nice. He was doing a lot of smooshing. He was after James Milner. Who else was after? Jordan Henderson. There was one or two coaching staff that he recognised, masseurs or whatever. But he was like, he was itching to leave me. Like, he was itching to get on the pitch. Like, he just got the feeling he wanted to be on the pitch double quick.
He would have
was good company.
To be fair.
he was good company.
Would you read his book, Dom?
Do you know what he said to me, Dan?
What did he say?
I'll read it. Do you know what he said to me, which was quite nice? And Stevie will get this. Him being a Man City boy, Naden, we were sat in the Liverpool end, and it was quite emotional when you're sitting with Liverpool fans. And I think he said to me, he just leaned over and he just very casually, the way Naden does, and he went, "I think I get it now." And I went, "What?" He went, "I think I get Liverpool fans." And I was like, "That's quite deep. I like that."
God, what a bonding experience you had at Wembley.
I know. And it really came through the screen how bonded together they were as Naden walked away from Don.
What an eclectic mix extra time this has been. Finally, Steve, if you're in the Norwich locker room for the final game, are you trying to spoil the party for Spurs? Do players who know they're relegated look to prove anything in these matches?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah?
I mean, that's exactly what will be coming out of Dean Smith's mouth. Right, let's be party poopers today, lads. You're at home.
Right.
Yes, we're getting relegated, but how's about in the last game of the season you give these fans something to think about? So, yeah, 100% they'll be going at it. Unfortunately, they're not a very good team. And unfortunately, they don't have a very good defence. And unfortunately, going forward, they don't score very many goals.
So
regardless of how motivated and full of desire they may be, Tottenham will get the job done.
Don.
Dan, I played in the West Ham game that stopped Man United winning the league in 95 when Blackburn won it up at Anfield. And we played out of our skins like you wouldn't believe. And Fergie, after the game, called us an absolute disgrace. Because we had nothing to play for, but we had so much in us. Because there's a history, obviously, between West Ham and Man United. It goes back quite a few decades. And we tried like you wouldn't believe to stop Man U winning the league. And we did. And Fergie hammered us. So there is motivation where you can find yourself wanting to stop, you know, someone winning the league. And that will be the mindset from Norwich. But, I mean, listen, they ain't beating Tottenham. No chance.
I remember that. Didn't Liverpool beat Blackburn in the end that day as well?
Yes.
And that's how it all played
Liverpool
out.
Liverpool beat them at Anfield.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, we drew 1-1 at Upton Park.
There we go.
Just a quick question. What about the rest of the season? Don was not motivated to play the rest of the season. No, it's really only not. One game wonder.
Just party pooper.
Come on.
That was it. That's what Ali's hearing. And he's not wrong. That is it then. ESPN FC back in your screen tomorrow. What an extra time that was. Crikey, O'Reilly. We'll be reflecting on Southampton against Liverpool.
Are they going to be tired?
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.